It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are live today from the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're hanging out in the lobby. We're right by the Guitar Pick Bar today.
We are.
We just had our breakfast at Kitchen Notes, and that was so wonderful. Good. And we are hanging out.
Yeah, man. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, you know, just chill. How you doing?
Good. People waving at us, coming
yeah,
by.
Yeah, how you doing? Good to see you.
Oh, we got the Alohas. They give us the hang loose.
I like that.
From Hawaii, yeah.
How are you?
No running, sir. Thank you for running in the lobby. He stopped running. Oh, man. It's all good, buddy. It's all good.
That could be a fun bit, you know, to, like, Dr. Crane, bring him down here. Hi, Dr. Crane. Welcome back.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We missed you.
I missed you guys as well.
Bring him down here and, like, have him just, like, in a little suit. And he's like, could you please not run?
Yeah, right?
Could you bring your voice down a little bit, sir?
And then, no running the around the pool.
The next day you come down here, we put a little leash around you. So get back over here.
I prefer a harness, not a leash.
Harness is, that's better. You're right. That's better on that. We will take that. So, yeah, that's a beautiful day. We had a fun night tonight. We're going to the PFFL.
No, PFL. Professional Fighters League. Okay. Yes, we're doing that. We had our man Jason Jackson and Thad Jean almost kill each other on our show.
Twice.
A couple times.
Yes.
We got a I laughed because we got a text during that. One guy was like, this is uncomfortable. I'm turning the channel. Like, all right, cool.
Try being in the middle of that. That was uncomfortable, too. But that's tonight, and I saw it's going to be on ESPN. It's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, ESPN is their deal, so I think it should be a lot of fun.
I'm watching the TVs in front of me, which is the worst thing. It's Kelly and Mark. Was this like Regis and Kathy Lee at one time?
Or I guess, yeah.
Michael Strahan. And their lead story was Ed the Zebra. They just showed Ed the Zebra flying
around. What's happening with Ed? I mean, he's back home. Well, I heard they're going to sell him because they realize that might be a little difficult keeping a zebra.
I've heard they got three zebras.
Yeah, they got a few.
That was a story down there. So Ed captivated all of us, and then we were all so excited that went on. All right, Chase, are you ready?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I am.
Dr. Crane, hit it. Yes, sir. We are officially 72 days out from the start of college football. 72 days out. And like we've done all week long, what is the greatest number 72 of all time? 615-737-1025. You can text us. You can call us. You can come see us. Whatever you want to do. But we want to hear from you, the greatest number 72 of all time. Chase McCabe. Start it off for us. The greatest number 72.
The first one that comes to mind that's not greatest of all time but was pretty good with the Titans was Brad Hopkins.
Okay.
Our former colleague, obviously. Michael Orr wore 72 with the Titans. 70,
did he wear 72?
Well, he couldn't wear 74.
Oh, okay. That's right.
Yeah. So he wore 72.
Okay.
All time. Wait. Now you tell me if I'm off here. Is William the Refrigerator Perry number 72?
Yes, sir, he is.
Okay, I'll say him. Okay. I'll say the fridge.
All right. I'm going to go with one guy who you guys all know should be in the NFL Hall of Fame and is not, Ed Too Tall Jones.
Ah, that's a good one.
Number 7. But these are just our opinions. We want to hear from you guys, the greatest number 72. Dr. Crane, anybody come to mind?
No, nothing off the top of my brain there. I have to, you know, give a little research. I mean, Michael Roos was 71 with the Titans. Is that right?
That is correct.
You'll get him tomorrow. My God.
I'm a big Michael Roos guy. Can't help it.
Rooster.
Rooster comb injections.
What?
Hello.
You get those in your knee, you know, and in your joints whenever. You know, it's like lubrication for your knees and joints. Yep.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
Now we do, but thank you.
The more you know.
Yeah. So the greatest number 72, and I'm sure there are others that pop up, but to me, Ed Too Tall Jones, y'all know my affinity for that man because he should be in the Hall of Fame, and he's not.
All right. 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com. Already see another vote for the fridge. I just loved him. You know, he did wrestling. did a little wrestling too. I loved him in the Super Bowl shuffle. And the fact that he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl and
you know,
Walter Payton didn't was kind of weird. But
Ditka to this day says that's his greatest regret in coaching football, is not letting Walter Payton score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And he's talked about that before, you know, and maybe we'll have Jeff Fisher on tomorrow and talk about William Perry, because when he entered the league in 1985, man, nobody did. In 1984, 49ers beat the Bears. They ran Guy McIntyre, number 62, did that same play. And the Bears were kind of humiliated. And the next year, the Bears got William Perry. And he captivated. I mean, he captivated everybody.
Was that the first time that like a defensive end got put in at fullback?
I'm sure there were others. He's the one that we remember.
Yeah.
They won the Super Bowl and everything else. And he, you know, he had the big gap teeth in the middle. Just a lovable guy. And he was a good player too, man. And he happened to be drafted and put on the greatest single NFL team of all time in the 1985 Bears.
I remember when the Titans drafted Jeffrey Simmons in 2019, I asked Floyd, I was like, could you see them using him like the fridge? And he kind of stopped and he goes, I'm impressed you know who the fridge is. And two, I can see that. And then we've seen it a couple times. Now, it's been a decoy, but I love when they do that.
Oh, yeah. Somebody should know, was Patrick Hornquist 72 with the
– Not with the Predators, but he was with the Panthers and I think the Penguins.
Okay. All right. Thank you there.
Gover says, right now, Sergei Bobrovsky of the Florida Panthers. I'd agree with that. They're goaltender. All-time, Ed Too Tall Jones. So he agrees with you.
So the goaltender that's really good for the Panthers were 72? That's pretty cool.
He does.
They got a game tonight.
Yep, they sure do. 9006 says Zach Wingert, Nebraska, started 37 consecutive games at right tackle in his 46-game Cornhuskers career. Wingert gave up just one quarterback sack while earning first-team All-Big 8 conference honors in 1992, 93, and 94.
It's a pretty good player.
Do you remember him?
I do not, but Tommy Frazier was a quarterback, and he had a lot of open holes, and so there was a guy who had to clear the way out for him. It's probably that guy right there.
5526, Dan Dierdorf.
Oh, my. I meant to bring that up. That's the Great Simpsons episode when they did the Super Bowl, and it's like they did the Bud Bowl, and they said, here comes Dan Dierdorf. And he runs onto the field, and he's like, remember the Bud Light Bowl they had?
Yeah.
But Dan Dierdorf was one that gets out there. I got one here. It says, thank you, Dale. John Matusak for the Oakland Raiders from 76 to 82.
Al just said that too, but he said that I have to say the Raiders.
You did it. Good job.
Yeah, there you go. My dad was an Oakland Raiders fan because of John Madden. He would never say the Raiders without going, the Raiders.
Yeah, Chris Berman made a career off of that.
Just like that.
So 72 days out, what's the greatest number 72 that you think of with all that? So I got something else for you, Chase. I'm excited about this. And I love when we go ad lib a little bit.
Yep.
31 years ago today was the O.J. murder. Ron Goldman.
Oh, wow.
And Nicole Brown Simpson.
Yeah.
31 years ago. Twitter was not around. No social media. My question to you, Chase McCabe, what event in history had you wished Twitter was around for? Because Mike Henry sent me this note. Gator Mike, we love you. Thank you. That would have broken the internet that entire week, the Bronco chase, everything in 1994.
There's two events, not that I wish Twitter was around for, but would have absolutely broken the internet. OJ and 9/11. I mean, it wasn't around. I don't even think Facebook was around yet.
It was not.
Man, that's a good. I mean,
you could go back through history, like when Lincoln was assassinated.
Oh yeah,
I think Kennedy was assassinated. Kennedy would have been one.
Kennedy would have been interesting. You know what's funny when you ask a question like this. It reminds you how young Twitter is. Like, because Twitter is now a part of everyday life. Mm-hmm. Like, to do what we do, you have to have an X account. You have to use it. You have to use social media.
Yeah, that's right.
It used to be an option. Now it's not. But you think about all the events that have happened in our history you know, a majority of them, it was without it. And it's like, hey, we got through that.
Yeah, we did. You're right. Now, you could break it off in subjects like, you know, what sporting event you wish it was around for, what breaking news event you're around for. I mean, Ed the Zebra was great for social media.
Oh, yes.
Was simply fantastic. The memes, everything that went on with it. But had that been around back in 1994, that entire week, because you think about that. That Friday night, we were all the Bronco chase. I mean, you had a gate. Was it a game seven, right, with the Rockets?
Yep.
And the
I don't know if it was game seven, but
and the Knicks. So, and then you also had the, was it the Rangers were having their parade? They won the Stanley Cup in 94. There's all that was going on at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, you put that lot. All together that goes on. What event would you have liked to have seen social media around for? I guess, you know, in the modern era. I mean, we don't go back to the Revolution and Paul Revere. Can you imagine Paul Revere on Twitter?
The British are coming. Hashtag British are coming.
And he stopped for a selfie. You know?
Yeah, he takes a selfie on his horse and you just see everybody behind him. He's like, what's up?
Pitchforks going on. Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's just, it's interesting. It's a good point, though, because social media is really young.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, there's something happening with a football team that I don't really understand why this is happening, but I'm worried of what it's going to do.
Uh-oh.
We will discuss that coming up next. Greg Wyshynski going to join us at 10 o'clock. Chris Sanders will join us today at 10:30. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Here on this Thursday, we're hanging out at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're just outside Kitchen Notes. We're on the main lobby by the beautiful new Guitar Pick Bar. So if you're out and about and walking through the Omni, come by and wave at us.
Say hi.
We're not in
man.
A cage, yeah. You know. So you can feed the animals. I guess Joe's the animal.
I am. Come say hi.
Are you going to join the video stream today? Or?
I should be on there.
Okay. Well, we miss you.
I'm spinning around. My little thing's spinning around.
Your head's spinning around. Something like that. Our question of the day, what event do you wish Twitter had been around for? And also the greatest 72 of all time.
72 days out from the start of college football season, the greatest number 72 that you could come up with.
Let's see. Ed Too Tall Jones, Benny Parsons drove the 72 at one time. Zach and Franklin says JFK Marilyn Monroe relationship.
All right, you got to come with more than that, buddy. You got to tell us more than that.
That could have been. I mean, there's always the rumors of.
Well, we know that, but what does 72 got to do with it?
No, that's answering the Twitter question.
Oh, okay.
This is what happens when you ask two questions at once.
I love it. I love the interaction. Well, what do you mean? I don't know how that would have.
But, I mean, all the rumors
and
stuff.
Okay. I get that.
Tommy says social media would have went nuts with the Zodiac, BTK, and Bundy serial killers.
Yeah. I mean, not to the degree of the OJ thing, but the Bundy thing was over, like, 15 years, though, man. That took a while. The BTK thing was when that was – unveiled and came out and they caught him, that would have been something else. Yeah, but the OJ thing, I mean, it's gonna be hard to top that one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Interesting. 615-737-1025. Have you kept up with this Shamar Stewart deal, the rookie who was drafted by the Bengals, that he's their first round pick. He hasn't signed his contract yet, and he was at minicamp, and he talked to reporters and was kind of like, you know, it's kind of a bunch of BS of what they're trying to do, talking about the Bengals. And so he left camp. He's left mandatory minicamp. Still has not signed his contract.
Oh, God.
But I was listening to Charles Robinson this morning. It sounds like this is more on the Bengals than it is him, because the way that the CBA reads, you know, all these, this rookie money is slotted now. Like, so he's the 17th pick. It's pretty much like, hey, this is the contract. It's guaranteed. Here's what it is. Boom, boom, good to go. apparently the Bengals were trying to put something in there that would void the guarantee money if something happens, and that's never been done before.
Uh-oh.
And so he's like, he knows it's never been done before, and is like, hey, wait, that's not how this is going to work.
Good for him.
Wow. So he's standing up for himself.
Okay.
But
the Bengals are notoriously an awful organization. Awful.
They're cheap.
Very cheap. I mean, through the 90s, they had – I think they had like four scouts because David Shula was the head coach, Don Shula's son, and they had no support. They had like four scouts, and they were awful during that time. And it seems like they got not much better than that, it goes on. I mean, players are smart now. I get it. Everything's out in the open. It's very transparent with everything. So I don't understand all that.
I don't get it either.
I never heard of this guy.
It says Stewart, the 17th pick in the draft, has yet to sign his rookie contract or participate in offseason workouts. According to a source, the dispute centers on contract language that could potentially void future guaranteed money. Throughout the workouts, Stewart has been a bystander during the drills, often standing near the defensive line. The former Texas A&M star was not present Thursday when the Bengals worked out inside Paycor Stadium. Earlier this week, Stewart said the organization is more concerned with winning arguments instead of games, adding he was, quote, 100% right in seeking contract language standard to previous Bengals draft picks. I totally agree with him.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to get – you're going to screw me over, man, this ain't going to happen, and they're going to figure it out and see you. I don't blame him. I mean, usually it's like, oh, what's going on here?
My thing is, you know – this is going to – what happens when you have things like this is it's going to open a can of worms, and the NFL and the NFLPA had made this very easy and spelled this out. And I know there's, you know – like I remember Mariota took a little bit longer because there was some offset language, and I think it had to do with him surfing. Basically, the Titans were trying to put in there of like, hey, if you get hurt surfing, it's not our problem or
right.
something like
yeah.
that. And so, you know, there's a little bit of that, but – my thing is, it's pretty cut and dry. Like, it's a, you know, it's a guaranteed contract. It's a rookie deal. So, just do it. Just get it done. And I don't know why the Bengals are trying to circumvent this and make this more difficult.
That's because it's the Bengals. That's what they love to do every time. And they'll never get over that. I mean, you know, I think they've got a lot of momentum going this season with Burrow and Chase and everybody on board. But
Hendrickson is still not signed. I mean, they're going to have issues on defense if they don't get out of their own way.
And chances are they won't get out of their own way.
No.
To do all that.
And that's the problem.
I mean, good for him. Get out of there and don't come back till it's all taken care of.
And the sad part is, like you just said, I think the Bengals could be a team to really reckon with.
Yeah, I mean, you got Burrow. I mean, that's right there is enough to – if they get that defense ready to go, then, my God, I mean, they could be so good. They were probably the best team down the stretch last year. They were so good the last part of the season. Just the defense was terrible for them.
On the Titans side of things, they'll have their last day of mandatory minicamp today, and then they will head to break before they get going for training camp at the end of July. I love the overreaction that I read sometimes. I think most part our media has been decent about it, but you know, I've seen a little overreaction. Man, Cam Ward's looking so good. He's looking awesome in his shorts and T-shirt and throwing to Calvin Ridley.
We talk about this every year.
I know.
He was 18 of 20 in training camp. I mean, it doesn't – you know, if you tweet out that he went 7 of 27, you got the reaction on the other side of like – oh my God! It's not going to just. And I love the guy who puts that out there. I understand what he's doing. I get it. But at the same time, I've been to enough training camps that nobody really cares about all that. And camp, for the most part, is we manufacture stories that come out.
Sure.
They go on, and it's kind of like, oh God. So you just never know.
He had more of an up and down day on Wednesday after going 20 of 21 on Tuesday. That's fine.
Yay!
Apparently Levis looked meh. So there you go.
Oh, there we go. That's the one. Yeah, that happens. I don't know. I mean, again, we've seen enough of this every single year.
Can I tell you how much I love Jim Wyatt?
Yeah.
So he has his training training or mini camp observations, right, on the Titans website. So the first part is another practice, another day when Cam Ward's every snap was followed closely. Says all this stuff, goes through it and everything. At the end of it, it goes, thanks for reading, Jared, since you didn't make it out today.
Oh, no.
That's awesome.
Plays right into his hand.
Yep. So there you go. Van Jefferson kind of had an interesting day. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's mini camp.
It is. I mean, I go back to the mid 2000s when Paul Williams was the greatest receiver ever to step on the field. He beat everybody. You remember Paul Williams?
I do remember Paul Williams, but yeah.
Yeah,
I see your
3 years in the practice squad, never did anything. Brandon Jones, he's the answer. He's great. One or two good years, all that. Let's stop with the nonsense from training camp. I know we have to talk about it. I understand that. But stop, you know, crown him if you crown him. You know, just stop doing all this stuff. Joel Filani, remember him?
Vaguely.
Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Vince Young called him Strawberry because he dyed his hair and. He's like, you look like a strawberry. I mean, that's how I remember Joel Filani. He was like, this guy's the next terrible. Terrible.
Okay. You want to do – well, this is funny. Most obscure Titans that you remember. Because I bet you the text line will blow up for something like this. Paul Williams is a good one.
Joel Filani. I mean, Chris Henry's obscure because I know he was there for a year or two, but he was a terrible draft choice and a terrible player.
The late, great Jesse Mahalona.
I told you. Jim Washburn made him cry at practice.
Yep.
Made him. And I was like two rows behind him on the charter plane when he passed out on the jet. And they had to give him IV. He passed away. That's right. It made him cry on the practice field. Washburn said he would never amount to anything. And he cried. That's the only time I've ever seen a professional athlete cry on the field.
And he was pretty good at Tennessee.
He was really good at Tennessee.
So when he had just signed, I think, with the Titans out of Tennessee, and I walk into my friend's living room, one of my friends from high school, and her older sister had gone to Tennessee at the same time as him. He's standing in their living room. I'm like, you're Jesse Mahalona. What's up? And they were, you know, friends.
Massive dude.
Oh, he's huge.
Massive dude. Really good. Who's the one guy? Oh, I'm sorry. I defaulted to a Tennessee player. He also passed away. Remember under Dooley, and I'm sorry to take this down the off-ramp here, the guy that ended up going to Alabama, Dooley had this thing, you can't transfer within 500 miles of the school. He was a line. Was it Douglas, last name Douglas?
I don't remember.
And then I think he passed away too. I think his dad might have been a legacy player at Tennessee. I don't know why. He was up there with Mahalona at the time. That's why it rang a bell with me.
Randy Moss gets one.
Randy Moss. God, that was so crazy in 2010. That was just really, really like, what are you doing here? There's got to be. I mean, there's a few. I racked my brain. I go from like, you know, like Perry Phoenix. He got in the fight over the heated seat.
Oh, yeah.
With the other, DeRon Jenkins, that was it. And that's when the franchise was really, really bad when all that was going on.
I don't know
on.
If he was – I wouldn't call him obscure because he actually had a few good years, but I always liked Lance Schulters, the safety.
Yep. Loved to run that mouth.
He did.
I just remember when he got carjacked.
Oh, yeah. I remember that too.
He got carjacked wherever he was. That's when he got carjacked. Sean Green.
Yeah, Sean Green was
one. He
got
in a fight with a meter maid in Franklin because they were going to tow his car, ticket his car.
Yeah. Jason Fisk.
Yeah, Jason Fisk was good, though.
Yeah, he was good.
He beat Favre half to death in a game here in 2001. I won't forget that. That was really good. Gennaro DiNapoli.
Yes.
Center.
There, that was a good one.
Wasn't really good.
Justin Hartwig. Ended up going on to the Steelers. Won two Super Bowls.
Might have won two Super Bowls up there, yeah. Had a nice little career with the Steelers.
Yep, he was one. I don't know. It's just kind of a fun exercise to think through.
It is.
Mike Otto. There was one. Mike Eccles. Wasn't there Mike Eccles?
Yep. I feel like there's one out there that
Donnie
was
Nicky
so
was good.
Carl Pickens. I mean.
Vinny Fuller. He was good, though.
Who's the guy?
A.J. Trapasso.
A.J. Trapasso, the punter. Who was the guy, John Simon, that dropped the kickoff in the AFC Championship game versus the Raiders?
Yep, John Simon.
And why they did not have Derek Mason back there doing that, I will never know.
I think Derek Mason wonders that too.
I think he was doing punt team, but Simon fumbled the kickoff.
Yep.
And got the Raiders get the ball back, and Rich Gannon went down. And they scored, like, almost immediately.
Yep. 615-737-1025. We're hanging out at the Omni Nashville Hotel today, which, of course, is a proud sponsor of the Chase and Big Joe Show. Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Norfolk. Pre-game going to get underway at 10:50, the first pitch at 11:05. I believe our man Max Herz is still on the
Maxie.
Call in Norfolk. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. I don't know why I did that.
I knew exactly why you did that. Hello, everybody. All right, so you talk about the Bengals guy getting stiffed on his contract, right, which is just ridiculous stuff that goes on there. So I pulled up what are the five worst contracts in each sport, right? So the National Football League will start first. Number five, Orlando Brown Jr. for the Bengals has a four-year, $64 million contract. I don't know enough about that, but if you made the list, obviously he's pretty bad. Number four, the worst contract in the NFL, Dak Prescott.
I was about to ask if he was on this list.
4 years. So he's making $60 million a year?
Yeah. Look, here's the thing. Dak's a good quarterback.
Right. I get it.
He's not a $60 million a year quarterback.
I get it,
he's
man.
A good, and then you got Mahomes that's making – like Mahomes has – a very team-friendly contract, and we knew it when he signed it. But, you know, he's got three rings now.
He's a friendly guy, buddy.
He is a friendly guy.
Number three, the worst contract in the National Football League is Christian Wilkins. 5 years, $110 million plays for the Raiders. He was drafted by the Dolphins in the first round in 2019, and he's with the Raiders now since 2024. Evidently, he's terrible. Number two, Kirk Cousins. 4 years, $180 million contract.
Yep.
So Kirk's making $45 million to ride the pine. That's something.
Yeah.
The number
well,
one worst.
I think he'll probably end up starting the season somewhere else.
Number one worst contract, still current, worst contract ever is.
Still current? I don't know. When you say it, I'll know.
His brother owns the Predators.
Oh, Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
5 year, fully guaranteed $230 million contract.
So dumb.
And I'm all about capitalism. That's fine. You get the money you want, but that's just ridiculous.
It was dumb. It was a dumb contract.
In Major League Baseball, the worst contract is Anthony Rendon from the Angels.
Anthony Rendon? Yes.
Rendon. Is he terrible?
I mean, he was injured. He's still injured for majority of his contract. And I think he's played like a total of like 35 games in his like 6 year deal or something like that.
7 year, $245 million deal. All right, Dr. Crane, Steven Strasburg still playing?
I don't believe so. I think he hung up the cleats.
I actually thought he retired.
Yeah, I think he did 2 years ago.
7 year, I guess they're still paying on it. Seven year, $245 million contract.
Wow. I mean, that's just kind of like that Mets player from back in the day, Bobby Bonilla.
Coming up July 1st. Chris Bryant for the Rockies, 7 year, $170 million.
Oh, yeah. Former Cub. I saw him play with the Tennessee Smokies.
Did you?
Yep.
Xander Bogaerts.
Yep.
11 year, $280 million. And these baseball contracts are guaranteed.
Yeah.
Then Javi Baez.
The NFL is the only league that doesn't fully guarantee contracts.
And they're smart not to do that. Javi Baez, 6 year, $140 million for the Tigers. All right, hockey. Number five, Darnell Nurse plays for the
Islanders.
Edmonton.
Edmonton.
Seth Jones, 8 years, $76 million.
I think that's going to turn out to be okay, though, now that he was with Florida. Chicago was such a terrible fit, but I think Florida's a good fit.
Sean Couturier.
Okay.
With the Flyers, Elias Pettersson.
Vancouver. Pettersson.
Yep. 8-year, $92 million. The worst contract in hockey, Calgary, Jonathan Huberdeau. Is that how he says
Huberdeau.
Name?
No, it's Huberdeau.
Huberdeau. 8-year, $84 million. Is he terrible?
He's not terrible, but probably not worth that contract. I am so glad that a Predators contract wasn't on that list.
Right? Not yet. Saros, terrible.
Could be.
Can they get out of that thing, or has he already signed it?
No, I mean, it kicks in July 1st.
Oh, what a terrible contract. NBA.
Duchesne could have been on there, I mean, because they bought that out. I mean,
And then
Matt Duchesne's gone to Dallas and has tore it up. So
what's the guy that you said, he's wearing gold, that was terrible for the Predators?
Oh, Kyle Turris.
Kyle Turris is wearing gold.
Yep.
With that contract. NBA Bradley Beal has
I need to actually find Dr. Crane, I'm going to send you something because when I did the Game Center update for that, that was a memorable moment. I'll have to find that. We'll play it.
What was memorable about it?
You'll see.
Okay.
When we play it. I'm going to find it and send it to him.
Kyle Turris wearing gold. Worst NBA contract, Bradley Beal, 3-year, $160 million with the Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
Paul George, 4-year, $210 with the Sixers. Jaylen Brown, 5 years, $285 million with the Celtics. Those are, say, are the worst contracts in sports, led by Deshaun Watson with all that. I mean, it just that kind of – that contract with Deshaun Watson really startled everything that went on in professional sports, because everybody wanted Lamar Jackson. He came, he's like, you got that? I want that. It really upset a lot of things that were going on. And so that's why people are so mad at the Browns and Haslam for doing that completely stupid contract.
Wes in Clarksville asked, what about L'Jarius Sneed? Worst contract right now for the Titans. I would say so.
Isn't he getting 21? I mean, I don't know the exact numbers. Like,
yeah, but I mean, he may not even be able to play.
But they knew that.
And he can't stay healthy.
He was injured when they knew that. Stop signing injured players. We get that on that promo.
Do you think that Mike Borgonzi walked in and said, hey, I just want to get this out there real quick. I am sorry for fleecing you guys with L'Jarius Sneed. That was my really bad Boston accent.
That was.
But L'Jarius Sneed, like, sorry about that. You know, we had an idea that we wanted to get rid of him.
Oh, my God. You know when they did that, they were like, oh, good job, Rand. See ya. Thanks for everything. And so, you know, Borgonzi probably walked back in there and says, you know what? This is karma. This is karma. You know, I hoodwinked the Titans. Now I work for the Titans with this stupid contract. But they knew he had a knee injury. Stop doing this. Stop all that.
There it is. All right, we'll continue from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Coming up next, we're out here in the lobby hanging out. Joe is going to start
loading
luggage and mixing drinks for people. He's a jack of all trades. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. One of the most creative minds in music passed away yesterday at the age of 82, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Of course, was with them for a long time. Kind of quit touring pretty early in his career. But was a great producer. The album Pet Sounds, I thought, was game-changing when it came to music. And hate to see that. I know he had been battling some health issues for a while. But saw that news yesterday and immediately turned on that song, actually. It's probably my favorite Beach Boys song.
Yeah, I mean, what an iconic life. I mean, that's a whole quest for another day. I mean, are the Beach Boys the greatest American band of all time?
Yeah. I would say so.
I mean, you throw the Eagles in there. You throw Aerosmith in there. Eagles.
Yeah. I don't know of the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did that to me one time.
I know, but that's a subjective to get into
Okay. Yeah. They're called Eagles.
Into the subject. Yes.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I know people might laugh at this. Leonard Skinner's probably up there.
I totally agree.
They're probably
agree.
More up there than maybe top they're
five.
Credit for.
Yeah, sure they are. I go Beach Boys, Eagles, Leonard Skinner. I mean, I threw Aerosmith in there, but
hell,
they had a 30, 40-year career that went on.
Yeah. You're just saying American. American bands.
Because you start throwing in English bands, you get clobbered.
Yeah. No, that's a really Van Halen.
Pretty good. I mean, we love Van Halen, but that's different for us.
Van Halen, I think what makes Van Halen the most impressive is they kind of did it twice.
Yeah, right.
Like, they're kind of two different bands in one. Because a lot of times when you change lead singers, you're done.
You are done.
But
they just got bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't necessarily say they got better, but bigger and bigger. Had Steve Perry stayed with Journey, they'd have been up there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they got better. They just got – they got equally as good.
I think Eagles, number one. Yeah. Beach Boys right underneath them. Skynyrd. Somebody said Allman Brothers yesterday.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That stick with them.
Our friend Caroline Fenton just texted me and said NSYNC.
I'd go to NSYNC all day.
Hey.
What were we watching?
I mean, yeah, you're right. The New Kids.
New Kids on the Block were on TV, and I was like, oh, yeah.
That's good. So real quick, I just referenced this when we were talking about Kyle Turris. One of my most memorable moments in radio was we do the Game Center updates. Mm-hmm. We did them live. I would do them going into the show.
Oh, no.
And I was producing 3D at the time. So it was Darren, Willie, and D-Mace. And Dr. Crane has not heard this. I told him not to listen to it.
Okay.
Just play it.
All right.
I'll tell you when to stop, but go ahead.
Hi, I'm Chase McCabe. The Nashville Predators made a big splash in the National Hockey League by acquiring center Kyle Turris as a part of a three-team trade with the Ottawa Senators and Colorado Avalanche on Sunday night. In return, the Avs acquired defenseman Samuel Girard Ford, Vladislav Kamenev, and a second-round pick from the Preds. Plus, they got more picks and prospects from the Senators. Matt, it's live radio. Matt Duchene, who had been rumored to the Preds, heads to Ottawa. Here's GM David Poile.
Right, you weren't wrong.
The franchise started 20 years
ago. How have I never heard that?
That's gold.
The best was I'm trying to pull out of this. Like, you know,
she said.
And I just look, and Darren's giving me this look of, what did you just say?
Dr. Crane, you got to shorten that to 3 seconds, please. Oh,
I can
my
do that.
Gosh. I would have lost it. Because we all make mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard that. I'll be damned. that becomes drop number one on the board. But you weren't wrong, though. Isn't Duchene
Matt,
a prick?
Live radio.
Kind of.
Yeah, right? So you weren't wrong in your assessment of your update.
I remember playing that for Pete Weber, and he goes, well, they kind of are.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Oh, we had fun with that. I think I even let David Poile hear that. He laughed.
I'm impressed about you pronouncing all the names correctly, because I would have not pronounced
that was the
of
funny
those.
That was the part, because I was trying to make sure I had all the names correctly, and then I say,
Dr. Crane, one more time real quick, please. This is gold.
Hi, I'm Chase McCabe. The Nashville Predators made a big splash in the National Hockey League by acquiring center Kyle Turris as a part of a three-team trade with the Ottawa Senators and Colorado Avalanche on Sunday night. In return, the Avs acquired defenseman Samuel Girard Ford, Vladislav Kamenev, and a second-round pick from the Preds. Plus, they got more picks and prospects from the Senators.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Matt Duchene, who had been rumored to the
moments.
Preds, also heads
that's
to Ottawa.
Fabulous.
David Poile.
That's fabulous.
You've had those moments where, you know you do something like that, and you just – there's no, the train's off the track.
Yeah.
Like, it's
– more pricks. Oh, I love it. Oh, that's so wonderful. We need to keep that.
I keep that one. Don't worry.
Real quick off of that, we're talking about what event would you hope Twitter had been around for in history. We got a number one. Dana texted in the night Princess Diana died.
Oh, yeah. That is a good one.
Because we were all – that. You know what's funny about that? That was the night before the Tennessee Oilers played the Raiders at Liberty Bowl in Memphis, August 30th of 1997. We were up all – because it happened 6 hours ahead of us. Mm-hmm. So we got word about 7 o'clock in Nashville.
I remember watching the funeral.
We were up all night.
Yeah.
CNN.
My mom was devastated.
Everybody was.
Like, I didn't understand it. I was 10 years old, and I've never really gotten into the whole royal family thing. But my mom, like so many other people, absolutely adored her. Yeah. And, like, you know, when they split, everybody was Team Diana and, you know, screw Prince Charles and all that stuff.
Very little. But remember, there were no details coming through. It was CNN was running the same loop over. And we just – I was up all night long. I had to leave at 5 in the morning to go to Memphis to cover that game. And we were just wanting more and more and more. Twitter would have been a valuable resource at that time.
And I just remember, too, like, because, you know, she was not – she wasn't a princess at that point in time. Like, yeah. They had divorced. And I just remember the queen basically was like, she gets everything. She gets all the treatment that she would get.
Oh, it took a while. Have you not seen the documentary on that?
Uh-uh.
The queen wouldn't come out. And finally, because of public backlash.
She did.
She came out and had to address the nation, I think, on that Thursday before the funeral on that Saturday because she hated her.
I thought she had.
Hated her. Hmm. And this was so not protocol because she was not no longer with the royal family. But the people loved her. I mean, it was so – like your mom was so beloved, and they had to get that funeral. And then Elton sang Candle in the Wind.
Yeah. I remember the shot of William and Harry, I guess, by her casket. And I think it was William does the salute, you know. And they, I mean, they were young, when that happened. So that's a good one. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into Stanley Cup Final. Greg Wyshynski going to join us on the program, as he always does. That's next. Chase and Big Joe, live at the Omni, 1025-1063 The Game.
It's live radio.